Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller chosen for a sermon topic, Light Shining, based on Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 14 through 18. And we thank Mary Yokely for sponsoring our radio broadcast this morning. In honor of her marriage to Sam Ed on September 29, 1973, this would have marked their 50th anniversary. May the Lord continue to bless Mary with happy memories and good health.
Good morning. Happy to be with you all again here this morning. So thankful that God has brought us together again to worship with one another, to worship our great God together. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be in our midst this morning to open our hearts and minds to receive His word that He has for us to receive. May we come before Him now, singing our first hymn together, number 534. Would you please stand as you're able? the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dearly beloved, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell and answer me, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I hesitate to say it, but the lectionary has done us a disservice this morning. For while I hope to expound upon verses 14 through 16 of the epistle reading, it's necessary, though, that we pick up at verse 12. So let me read those verses for you now. Paul says, Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. It's an interesting command that Paul gives us. Again, telling us to work out your salvation. What does that even mean, though? Because I fear that so many people, when they hear that command, they interpret it in ways that Paul never intended. And if we're not careful, we ourselves, it could start to sound like he is telling us that we need to work for our salvation. Or that we need to somehow earn it and bring it to a pass. But of course, as you well know, that can't be what Paul is saying here. It goes against all of Scripture to interpret it that way. Rather, again, it's important that we read it in context. Work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. Or to put it in plain words, work out, dear friends, that which God is working in. Paul is talking to Christians here who already have salvation. We know that's the case because he began the entire epistle reading, or the entire epistle, from the very beginning, saying to the saints who are in Philippi. Paul's audience then is taken for granted that they would already have salvation worked into them by the Holy Spirit. And likewise, today, if you're a Christian, then God has already worked salvation into you as well. And so Paul, he's simply saying then to work out that which God is working in. And what a grand work that is. Salvation, he says. What a grand word it is. Before we have even defined it, whatever it is, we already know that this must be a monumental thing. For the very fact that the Bible says that salvation was on God's mind before the earth was even made. That ought to tip us off to the value of it. To think that God the Father thought it so important that he would give his own Son so that you may have it. The fact that God the Son should think so highly of salvation that he would willingly bleed and die to accomplish it in you. That he would trade heaven's throne for a cross so that you could enjoy it. And again, the fact that the Holy Spirit, how he must think highly of salvation as he continually stoops night and day in order to work it in your hearts, mind, and soul. Before we have even defined what salvation is, what a grand thing we must conclude it to be. That all three members of the Trinity should be going to such lengths to be fully engaged in bringing it to pass inside of you. But then when we do define it, how it goes so much farther than even our wildest dreams. And how we are then just led to say, along with Paul, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. For we shall then find God's word true when he said, as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. And his thoughts of goodness and mercy, they far exceed that which we ever thought was even possible. If ever asked to define salvation, we tend to define it rather narrowly. For while we might use the word a lot, we don't often explore its many implications. Because rightly understood, salvation, it is a multifaceted blessing. In one sense, salvation, it's the blotting out of one's transgressions. Not only is it the forgiveness of past sins, but it is the preemptive blotting out of all future sins as well. It is the dismissal of all criminal charges that have been and ever can be levied against us as we have rebelled against a holy God. Salvation, it is being declared innocent by the judge of the universe. It's the clearing of one's name from all guilt and as from all of sin's stain as it is purged from you, so that you may stand accepted in the presence of the judge of heaven and earth. But even still, dear friends, we could even go farther than that. For salvation, it includes deliverance from even the wrath of God, both his temporal and his eternal wrath is satisfied. Salvation, it's the satisfaction of appeasing of God's righteous anger and justice. Instead of standing condemned already in sin, we stand in Christ, in whom the Father is well pleased. The present wrath that hangs over the heads of the sons of men is appeased through that all-glorious thing called salvation. It turns God's justice into mercy. It turns his anger into favor as Jesus makes full atonement for our sins. And there's more to salvation than we have even time to address this morning. But just once more, let me say that at its core, salvation is the deliverance from sin itself. It's the deliverance from the rule and power of sin that it has on your life, making it so that sinful passions, they would no longer rule in your body, but that all of these things would be put to death, and that you would be delivered from its chains, and that you would be ruled by a new law, the law of grace. What a comprehensive word salvation is. The deliverance from guilt and sin, from the dominion of it, from the curse and punishment of it. And ultimately, it is deliverance from the very existence of sin. How much farther can we go than this, saying that it is the very obliteration of even the memory of sin? For thus says the Lord, I will cast their sins into the heart of the sea, and their iniquities I will remember no more. It is all of this, dear friends, which God has worked in you. By grace through faith, God has put inside your heart, mind, and soul salvation and all of its multifaceted glory, saving you from sin and death and the devil. And what God has worked in you, Paul now says, work out your salvation. By grace, by the grace of God, there is a salvation. It is already inside you. For the Lord has done it, dear friends, and it is completed. The deliverance from sin and its effects has been worked away by Christ. And it is surely done in you as Christ has risen from the dead. Salvation, it is as surely done as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And so to all the saints who enjoy such a salvation, Paul says, work it out. If you have truly been delivered from the rule of sin in your members, then let goodness flow. If by grace through faith God has made you his holy temple, if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, complete my joy, Paul says in verse 2, essentially by saying, living out your Christian life. Complete my joy, but complete your own joy also, dear friends, by living according to that higher calling and that higher holy principle. Truly, the most joyous man on earth is the one who not only has received God's salvation, but then who completes his joy by living its reality out today, conforming his entire life's walk with the will of the Lord. Part of what's going to make heaven so grand is the fact that their sin will be no more. And without sin, there will be no cause for sorrow. Without sin, there will be no pain. There will be no lack of pleasure. And the man who overcomes sin today, breaking free from its lure and its false promises for fulfillment, choosing rather to walk it with God, he is truly the most joyful and content. For he is living in a heavenly foretaste while on earth. And for this reason, then, does Paul tell us to work out that salvation which God has worked in us? And then, in a way, verses 14 and 15, they act as a brief commentary of what that would look like. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, he says, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. I like how Paul says right up front, he just says, do all things. As if the Christian religion is one of action. Christianity, it's not merely about thinking and feeling the right things, but it is about doing. It's about following God, loving him, trusting him, and walking in his ways. It's like what James says, that pure and undefiled religion is this, visiting orphans and widows in their affliction, and keeping oneself unstained from the world. What we see in all of this is that Christianity is an active faith, a faith which necessarily conducts the entire life and walk of true believers. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. As if to say, don't grumble against God, nor against his providence. He knows your needs and how to provide for all of your well-being. And likewise then, don't grumble against your neighbor. But let love be genuine. Let love cover a multitude of sins, and do not grumble when your neighbor fares better than yourself. Paul commands us next to be blameless and innocent. The word innocent here is actually a very interesting one in the Greek. It literally means to be hornless. As if Paul is calling us not only to do no harm, but as if to say, be a people who can't do any harm. Be like a sheep that not only won't devour its enemies, but it cannot. Live in such a way as if harm is against your very nature. Like a sheep that has no teeth with which to bite, no claws with which to strike. No fangs, no poison with which to attack. Be as innocent as a dove, living at peace with everyone. Be innocent, hornless, and blameless. Be finally children of God, Paul says, without blemish. It's as if he's calling upon your relationship with God to dignify your entire life. though I didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, Paul said just as much in last week's reading when he said, "Let your manner of life be worthy of that of the gospel." Remember, dear Christian brother and sister, you are a child of the King of Kings. You are the Lord's beloved, called to be one with Himself. More is expected of you than from other people, because you have a higher pedigree. You are born after the image and likeness of Jesus. As the good Lord has put His name upon you, live that dignified life that is worthy to be called Christian. And last of all, when we do so, beloved, we will fulfill what Paul says at the end of verse 15. Among the crooked and twisted generation, you shall shine as lights in the world. Strange that God should use us for such a noble purpose. Strange that He should give us the honor and privilege to be His witnesses. That He should bestow upon us the dignity of being called His chosen people, His special possession. What grace upon grace that God should use even us. Let us shine like lights in the midst of a crooked generation. The darker the sky gets, the brighter the stars seem to shine in the night sky. And likewise, let that be true for us. Let us shine all the brighter, dear friends, the darker the world seems to get. Let your light shine, showing all people everywhere a more excellent way, showing them the glory of God, the truth of the gospel, the power of the Spirit to save and to redeem. Let your life shine, showing the salvation which we enjoy as we overcome sin and death, and as we live lives filled and full of God's joys. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we praise You that You should look so kindly upon us. Though we are as specks in Your creation, You have found pleasure in looking upon us. Many and gracious are the thoughts You have towards us, as You desire our good and well-being. Many are Your thoughts towards us, as You desire our salvation. Lead us to cherish Your gifts and to thank You for all of Your promises. Open our hearts and minds to see more fully the treasures which You bestow upon us, and to see the cost that it took. Lead us in thankful praise to live our lives in light of Your mercy. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Lord, as You work salvation in us, lead us to put to death the sin and passions of the flesh. Lead us to live lives worthy of the calling, to bring honor and glory to Your name. As You put Your name upon us, conform us daily more into the image of Your Son. Lead us in meekness, humility, gentleness, patience, kindness, and graciousness. Lead us to live like You, forgiving others and being Your lights to the dark world around us. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of unity, we ask that You would continue to foster among us a community of believers. Lead us to defend and to provide for and speak well of one another. And as we live the way you purposed, lead us to serve as your witnesses. Lead us to be a city on a hill which cannot be hidden, a city of love and light amidst the fallen world around us. Lead us to be your means by which you soften hearts and bring many more people into your holy family. Be with Christians and missionaries around the world that ever more and more people would on the last day be brought into your wedding feast. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, you are the strong defender, provider, and healer of all who call upon you. We lift before you those on our hearts and minds this morning. We especially lift before you all military personnel and first responders. Continue to keep them safe and give them your peace. Give them security, confidence, and energy to safely fulfill the work that's before them. Furthermore, be with our shut-ins and nursing home residents. Give them the comfort and joys. Lead them to find purpose and joy in being your child on earth. And Father, be with Bennett Ging, a baby who was born premature at 25 weeks. Sustain within him both life and breath. Protect him from the dangers that surround him and accompany his circumstances. Be with the parents as they battle through this storm, and help them to see you as a ray of light breaking through the dark clouds. Be to these, Lord, their joy, their peace, and their protection. Be with all who are on our prayer list, Lord, and let your good and gracious will be done. Lead us to rest in your providence, trusting that your ways are always good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Thank you. Please stand. You. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 594.